You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up later, we'll look at the changing landscape of gay and lesbian lives in America and the legal protections our guest says are still missing.
Right now, if you think about Wisconsin's Jewish community, you may think of their presence in larger urban areas like Milwaukee and Madison.
And you'd be right. Jewish leaders, institutions, and families have added a lot to the life and culture in Wisconsin's largest cities.
But in her new book, Jews in Wisconsin, Sheila Turman-Cohen shares not only those stories, but those of Jewish people who have settled throughout the state and over the course of more than two centuries. Sheila, welcome to Central Time.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, Sheila, when did the first Jewish immigrants come to North America?
They came in the 1600s, and most of them settled on the East Coast.
And when was it that the Jewish settlers started coming further west?
Well, the first Jewish settler to enter Wisconsin was a man by the name of Jacob Franks. He came when Wisconsin really wasn't Wisconsin yet, but rather the Northwest Territory. And it had been a French colony, and because it was a French colony, no Jews were allowed into the territory. French colonies had something called the French Black Law that excluded Jews from entering any French colonies. So after the French Indian War, where the British took control, then Jews were allowed in, and the first brave man that was recorded in history was Jacob Franks, a fur trader who did very, very well. He came from Canada via Britain, settled in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and had a very successful fur trading business with the Native Americans who already were well into fur trading at that time.
So Jacob Franks was the first Jew to settle in the territory that we now call the state of Wisconsin. When did we first see more significant numbers of Jews coming to the state?
Well, there was the first large surge of immigrants from the 1840s to the 1880s, and they came from the German Confederate area. There was a particularly large surge in 1848 when a group of activists calling themselves the 48ers rose up to try and establish a centralized constitutional government. When they failed in their efforts, they were threatened with exile. And as history would have it, coincidentally, that was the very same year that Wisconsin became a state. So the state put ads in European newspapers which said, "Come, in Wisconsin, all men are free and equal before the law. Religious freedom is absolute, and there is not the slightest connection between church and state." And so people did come in droves. And they settled in Milwaukee because it was such an ideal area located on Lake Michigan. The Erie Canal had opened in 1825, and they could send their goods back and forth. The Jewish German immigrants came as merchants. They hadn't really been allowed in professions in Germany, but nevertheless felt every bit the same German pride that their counterparts did, their Gentile counterparts.
So, Sheila, after that initial influx of Jewish immigrants from the 1840s to the 1880s, when was the next wave?
The next wave came in about the 1880s to the 1920s, and in fact, it was the largest wave of immigrants to come from Eastern Europe, mostly the Tsarist-dominated regions of Russia and Poland. Catherine the Great created what was called the Pale of Settlement in 1791, where Jews were to live in small shtetls without very many rights. And in 1882, Alexander II was assassinated, and his son, Alexander III, blamed the Jews and created what was called pogroms, which were vicious attacks on Jewish villages. So the Jews at that point really had no choice but to try to get out of those areas. And in fact, many did come to Wisconsin. Of course, most of the settlement with the Germans and the Russians was on the East Coast, but quite a few came to Wisconsin as well.
So Milwaukee really did become a hub for Jewish life in Wisconsin. Who were some of those early leaders who built and maintained that community?
Well, three of the most influential families were the Sawyers, the Friends, and the Adlers. And coincidentally, they all came with a needle trade skill and built the clothing manufacturing companies in Milwaukee to be the third largest industry in the city. So they were really quite influential, not only in business, but also they shaped the Reform religious movement in Wisconsin, starting Temple Emmanuel, buying cemetery property, because burying the dead is a very important ritual and rite given to the dead in the Jewish religion.
So it's interesting because I'm sure on some level they were competitors since they were all in the same industry, but it sounds like they really came together in their personal lives and in their religious lives to really foster this community.
Absolutely, they did. They did, yes.
So while Milwaukee and Madison, as the largest metropolitan areas, had and continue to have active and vibrant Jewish communities, you also feature Jews who settled in smaller towns and rural communities. What was the draw for those particular Jewish families to leave the city and settle elsewhere?
Well, it started in about the mid-1800s, when Germans felt that they could probably have less business competition in smaller towns. And as it would have it, the railroad came into the state in 1851. So they weren't as dependent on steamship travel to carry their goods back and forth. So they did go to small towns, Sheboygan, Stevens Point, Superior, La Crosse, Green Bay, and they became very successful. Many of them ran for public office, and five cities elected mayors. They also, believe it or not, had some sports heroes. Two of them were Isidore and Nathan Abrams. And as the story goes, they gave $3,000 to Curly Lambeau to start the Packers.
Really?
And then both of them played on the Packers. There was somebody else by the name of Maury Arnovich, who lived in Superior, Wisconsin, who became a star outfielder for the Philadelphia Phillies, the Cincinnati Reds, and the New York Giants. When he was done with his sports career, he went back to Superior and became president of their synagogue. So unknown facts about Jews in Wisconsin.
So it is interesting because we're seeing a lot of discussion about influxes of migrants and immigrants around the world right now. It sounds like the Jewish immigrants who moved to those smaller towns where they were not part of a large Jewish community necessarily, at least in the beginning, but really, you know, maybe one or two families in a mostly Christian community. It sounds like they struck some way of really becoming not just part of the community, but really integral parts of the communities.
They certainly did, yes. And I feel that was very much a part of a welcoming spirit, for the most part, in Wisconsin. Of course, there were periods of anti-Semitism, which reflected the national tenor of the time. There were resorts that were restricted, neighborhoods that were restricted, quota systems in the universities, although I have to say the University of Wisconsin was an exception to that rule due to Bob La Follette's idea of wanting to have a very diverse student body. And so, in fact, people even from the East Coast flocked to the University of Wisconsin, and it was there that the second Hillel chapter, a Jewish chapter of Hillel, started in 1924. So Wisconsin had some very good things about it for Jewish settlers.
And just as we wrap up, Sheila, both world wars saw many refugees leaving Europe, coming to the United States and other countries, and certainly a lot of Jewish refugees coming in. What have been the more recent Jewish immigrants coming to Wisconsin? Where have they been from?
Well, the most recent, I don't know if you call this recent, but of course the Holocaust survivors in the 40s. And then after that, Soviet Jews who were called refuseniks. They had tried to leave the country many times and couldn't. And finally things loosened up in the Soviet Union and they were allowed to come here. And many Wisconsin families welcomed them, sponsored them, and they too have fit into the community. That was probably in around the 1970s and 1980s.
Sheila, you have some book events coming up. Where will you be?
I do have events. One is this evening, as a matter of fact, at the Milwaukee Jewish Museum from 7 to 9 o'clock tonight. Another one is the Levy Summer Series on Thursday, July 7th in Madison at the Nakoma Country Club, and that would be at about 11:30 a.m. It's a luncheon, and I would be speaking at 11:30 followed by lunch. And the following one is at the Wisconsin Historical Society Museum on Tuesday, July 12th at noon.
Well, Sheila, thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you.
Sheila Terman-Cohen is the author of several Badger biographies. Her most recent book is Jews in Wisconsin. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.